So thankful that you could be here, be a part of Bethel this morning. If you could, open up a Bible to the book of John, the Gospel of John. We're going to be taking a look at several different verses today. Now, the version that I'm going to be reading is going to be on the screen. It is the New King James Version of the Bible, but I'm going to be referring to the King James Version of the Bible. And your version that you typically read may look a little bit different or sound a little bit different, especially one of the words that we're going to be focusing in on today. Now, we've been in a series of messages about the Holy Spirit. This is the triune God that we serve as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And maybe you haven't really focused or studied a lot about the Holy Spirit. For many of you guys, maybe this is like the God that you never knew. But we are going to be looking at the attributes of the Holy Spirit and how that is going to help us understand who He is, our friendship with Him, and understanding how He is going to help us continue to grow in our relationship with God. So we're going to be in the Gospel of John. We're going to start in John chapter 14. Also, this is a great opportunity, whether you're watching online or whether you're here, to take a few notes. I truly believe that God wants to communicate with you today. He wants to speak to you. He wants to change us as He always does. He wants to transform our lives into the way that it brings more and more glory and honor to Him each and every day. So we're going to begin in John chapter 14 and verse 16. And it says, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. All right, we're going to skip down to John 14, verse 26. And again, these are going to be statements, words that Jesus said. This is going to be important for us. So Jesus, we know, is the Son of God. We know that He really did live. He really did die on a cross. He rose again 3 days later, proving that He was God in the flesh. And He showed Himself to be alive to hundreds, at least at one time, that He was alive. And then He ascended into heaven. And before He ascended into heaven, He said the verses that we are actually reading right now. But in verse 26, He said, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, if you skip down to John chapter 15, verse 26, Jesus said, but when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me. Last one is in John chapter 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we say thank You for Your word. We pray, God, that Your word would come alive, that it would connect with us, it would make sense to us, it would be relevant to us. God, that You would expand our understanding of who God is today. God, that You would take Your word, and God, it would so come alive today that it would transform us into a growing relationship with You, and we would understand You, Holy Spirit, as our friend and as our comforter today, in Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen. Amen. So the word that we read in the New King James Version was this word, helper. Everybody say helper. Now, the thing about this word that is interesting is that when you actually diagnose this word in its original language, it means a lot more than just the word helper. We actually see what Jesus said. He said, I will send you another helper. And the word that we see there is allos parakletos. Allos means another. What Jesus is saying is there's someone else who is coming that is just like Me. Everybody say, just like Me. He's just like me, only he's different. And he is coming. And the word parakletos is the word we get for helper in the English language. But if you look at it in a different translation, there's many different words. If you look at it in the Greek, it's many different words. We see the word helper, but we also see the word advocate. We see the word counselor, and we see the word we're going to focus on today is the word comforter. Everybody say comforter. This is going to be important to us today because most of us, by and large, inside and outside the church, we don't really consider God a comforter. We don't consider that we can have a real, tangible relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, who comforts us. And what's important about this word comforter for us today is that all of us, to some degree, whether you want to acknowledge it here or not, we have a need or a desire to be comforted. Especially here as humans in our planet and our country, we have a need to be comforted so much. We have a special category of food called comfort food. How many of you guys like comfort food? It's this kind of food that brings a nostalgic desire to reminisce on how things were. There's certain foods that we eat that make us think about mama. There's certain foods that we eat that bring us back to a certain place at a certain time. And anytime either that food is thought of or if we see that food, it just makes you think, oh yeah, that's the good stuff. Now, and around the world, we have different types of comfort food. Some nations, like ramen, would be a comfort food. I've been to Poland before, and pierogies are a comfort food. Here in America, we're kind of mixed all up. We got a lot of different comfort food. There is a study that was recently done. 2,000 Americans found that 2 in 3 Americans, they have reverted to childhood food cravings even more during the pandemic. And some of America's favorite comfort foods, maybe you could guess, but we're going to throw them on the screen for you. The first one is pizza. Yeah, come on, everybody just wants a nice slab, a big hunk of pizza, whether it's deep dish or New York thin, come on. My favorite comfort food, maybe one of yours as well, is fried chicken. Come on, hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care. There's just something about fried chicken, especially my mom used to make it. I can remember coming home and smelling the smell of grease frying. There's nothing like that. What about macaroni and cheese? What about baked macaroni and cheese with that little thin, crispy layer of cheese and you just got to break through it and all the goodness. Hallelujah. Some people like grilled cheese. What about that? That's comfort food for a lot of people. A nice bowl of tomato sauce. Some of you guys like that. I don't care about the tomato sauce. You don't like that, Pastor Lance? Tomato. Well, whatever. I don't eat it. So it's all the same. Whatever. Nobody cares about that stuff anyway. It's just dipping sauce for grilled cheese. My brother, when he was younger, he had this thing for Mrs. Sullivan's pecan pies. That was his favorite thing. All of us have one of these little things. And what it does is like when we're going through a hard time or life was hard. I had a hard week. For some people, it's ice cream. How many like ice cream to go to? It's like life is hard. The kids were acting a fool. I don't want to be an adult anymore right now. Give me my comfort food. And it just makes all the problems temporarily go away. And it lets you know that this is kind of who we are as people. We want to be comforted. And a lot of times when it's not a food, it's something else. Sometimes it's just a natural response to the difficulties of life that are thrown our way. So much so, when I studied psychology, there was this position we used to call the fetal position. And this basically happens when someone suffers extreme physical or psychological trauma, sometimes they will assume this fetal position. It's basically they curl up, and sometimes they would even rock back and forth. And it's similar to when a child or an infant, a fetus, is in mama's belly, it would curl up like that. And so for some people that would do that, sometimes naturally, sometimes just because hard things happen, it makes them feel that warmth, that closeness of if they were in their mother's belly. A lot of times the fetal position is also observed by drug addicts, people who are experiencing withdrawal symptoms, things like that. We do that because we want to be comforted. And sometimes when nothing external will comfort us, we internally try to comfort ourselves by doing things like that. It kind of lets you know, it's interesting that it makes us feel closer to mama, because some of these feelings of discomfort that we feel, that have this desire for us to want to be comforted, are primal. They're just in us. I'll give you an example. Our world needs to be comforted. Can anybody agree with that? Specifically, America needs to be comforted of what we are going through, what we're experiencing, and what the potential of what we could experience in the next weeks or so. We need to be comforted. Many people, if you haven't followed very closely, you are aware that there was a man named George Floyd that died, and many people say he was killed. And because of the trial is almost over, you may not be as concerned, but there's a lot of people that are concerned that this just might set it off. If the trial, the decision doesn't go according to how some hope it does, this could be the beginning of a very long spring that could lead to summer. Can everybody say amen? And regardless of how it all unfolds, our nation needs comfort from a holy God. And just to kind of go a little bit further about that, when George Floyd was in the process of dying, does anybody know what he was crying out for? Mama. Isn't that amazing? This 46-year-old grown man, at the point of breathing his last breath, called out to a mother who had been dead for 2 years. It tells you how much the desire to bring comfort into our life is needed at various different times in our lives. And what this does, because we have this innate need to be comforted, it makes us explore, why do we have that? See, the more we study God, the more we find out and discover about ourselves. I want you to look again at John chapter 14, verse 16. Think about what I just said for a second. The more we find out or discover about God, the more we find out about ourselves. So in John chapter 14, verse 16, I'm going to read out of the King James Version this time. It says, I will pray. This is Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. He said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter. Allos Parakletos, another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now think about what else Jesus said. We read this a little bit earlier. He said, if I don't go away, this comforter will not come. So think about what Jesus is saying. He's saying that it is necessary for you in your life, in order for you to live the life that Jesus wants you to live, it is necessary for you to have a comforter. Regardless if life is good or if life is bad, it is necessary. And it makes sense. If we need a comforter, that must mean that we are going to experience discomfort in this world. It means that life is going to hit us so hard that we're not going to have a plan for it. I heard a famous boxer, he said, everybody has a plan until you get hit in the face. Same thing happens in life. Everybody has plans, big plans. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a lawyer. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And then sometimes life just happens, doesn't it? We're going to be married for 50 years and live in the white picket fence and have 2.5 kids and a dog. Sorry, Pastor Lance. And life is going to be great. But then divorce comes. A child dies. Sickness comes. Car accident happens. Fido dies. Something happens and it interrupts your plans. And you did not expect it. You weren't looking forward to it. And it brings certain levels and varying levels of discomfort, and some might even say pain, to our lives. And we need and we have the desire to be comforted. Now, the issue with this is not a problem of us having that desire. God created us. This is interesting about God. He created us divinely, orchestrated the way that we would be so that we would need comfort. tells you a lot about God and tells you a lot about us. He could have just put everything in motion and said, you're going to have a perfect life, go along and do it. But no, he put a fail-safe mechanism in us. Did you know that we were designed to live forever? We were designed to never get sick, to never die until we threw a monkey wrench in the problem. What happened was Adam and Eve, they sinned. And as every preceding generation, we're born into a fallen nature. And the fail-safe mechanism that God created is that we would need to be comforted because sin will cause torment. It will cause shame. It will cause guilt. It would cause us to withdraw when we should move forward. It would cause us to do all sorts of things. And because of that, we have this need to be healed. We have this need to be comforted. Can everybody say amen to this? But the problem is that we turn to other things to be comforted. Now, we already talked about some of those things. We turn to food. That's great, isn't it? But sometimes we turn to other things as well. Sometimes we turn to alcohol. Sometimes we turn to this. Sometimes we turn to work. And work doesn't seem like a bad thing until we become a workaholic. Sometimes we turn to cigarettes. We turn to marijuana. We turn to gambling. We turn to things to try to soothe. Some words might be used for this, to self-medicate. Anybody ever heard of that? We turn to things that we have control over to make our world feel like it makes better sense, to make it not seem as crazy. But the problem is when we take matters in our own hands, do you think things get better or they get worse? Now, here's the thing. Even if we take matters into our own hands, and it's, I just have a slice of pie every night because it makes me feel better. Anybody like pie? Right? Anybody like Oh Charlie's on Wednesdays? Come on, free pie. That's what's up right there. But let's say that's everybody laughs at that. That's not a big deal. But did you know that spiritually, we might be taking a slice of pie to comfort us where the Holy Spirit is trying to comfort us. And instead of turning to God when our day was rough, when we had a relational issue, a financial issue, a physical sickness issue, we turn to something else that takes the place of God that seems so seemingly innocent. Pie doesn't hurt anybody. Or does it? And it doesn't have to be pie. It could be anything that we turn to as an alternative from what God has prescribed. Let's just look for example for a second. If God is the great physician, he has prescribed you something that is going to help you. And if you don't take that prescription, many of us, what we do is we look at God's prescription, which is in the Word of God, we tear it up, and we write our own prescription. We say, God, I don't really need this. What I really need is a new relationship because this one is not working out. Or the last one was so messed up, I deserve a break. So I need to go out and I need to find me a new person, a new man, a new woman. I need to do this because it will make me feel better. And if you really went through a hard time, we'll start to justify things. I deserve better. And where that might make some psychological sense to some degree, what we're really saying is that I want to be comforted because I'm hurting. And so one of the prerequisites that we've got to look forward to today, if God is going to be God and we're going to be who we are, we have to come to some agreement today. The first is that he has become the comforter. Our God, the Holy Spirit, who is just as much God as the Father and the Son. That means that he is all-knowing. I mean, he's all-powerful. It means that he knows everything. He's bigger than Santa Claus, right? He knows what you've done. He knows where you've been. He knows how you felt about it and your motivation for it. And this is the important thing. He is for you. No matter, this blows my mind as I'm about to say it. No matter what your motivation was for why you did what you did, he is still for you. Whether it was good or bad, whether it was right or wrong, he is still here to comfort you. And I just want to give you an example of this. Vince, can you come up for a second? This is Vince. Let's give him a big hand clap. This is Pastor Vince, Every Nation Campus. Now, I just want you to walk across the stage pretty slowly, slower than that. You walk too fast. Okay. So imagine us walking through our life, and then life begins to happen. The marriage didn't end up like we thought it was, slower than that. Our finances have not worked out the way, that's good. But our finances are not, slower than that. Our finances did not work out the way we thought they would. Life is in trouble. We don't know what's going to happen. Slower. We didn't know how it was all going to play out. But then, before we were ever born, the Spirit of God, who existed before we did, because He always existed, Jesus says He is the Parakletos. He is the helper. The actual meaning behind that Greek word that we read in the Bible is the one who comes along beside us. So as He's going through life, right? He's going through life. Life begins to happen. And now He has given His life to Christ. The Holy Spirit comes along beside Him. And He's not out of the ditch. He's not out of the problems. God does not take away problems for our life. He doesn't make life perfect. Everybody say it. God doesn't make life perfect. But what He does is He comes along beside us in the mess. One might say He gets in the mess with us. He gets in the ditches with us. He gets into the foxhole with us when the bombs of life are coming. Thank you, Vince. Thank you, Pastor Vince. Let's give him a big hand. I wanted you to get that vision, because most of us don't walk through life thinking that. But the Holy Spirit, our God, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, He seeks to get in life with you and comfort you as you're going through things. Well, many of us have this weird theology that isn't really theology. It's kind of made up. It's like God only wants me around when I'm doing good, or I only need to come around God when life is perfect. Like, I can't even step foot inside the church unless I get my life all together. Because if I was to step foot inside the church, as if the church is God, church is not God, but if I did, God would strike me with a lightning bolt. Anybody thought that? Church is for all those perfect people. That is not biblical theology. The Holy Spirit, He wants to open our eyes today. And regardless of where you feel you are with God, He wants to come along beside you. There's an old song, He wants to walk with you and talk with you. He wants to be with you. And this has got to be our understanding as Him as a comforter. I want to give you a really, I think, cool example of this. Everybody in here, at least if you haven't got a car, you've had a car, you know about cars, you know somebody who has a car. Think about this for a second. The way that all cars are designed by the manufacturer is they are designed that after a certain milestone, certain things are supposed to happen. After 50,000 miles, certain maintenance issues need to take place, should take place. After 100,000 miles, certain things are supposed to take place. For example, after 150,000 miles of having a Honda, the timing kit needs to be replaced. Water pump needs to be replaced. Timing chain needs to be replaced. And the way that they design these things is they have these fail-safe mechanisms. So flashing lights sometimes come, or a check engine light will come on when maintenance or something has happened. It needs to be addressed. Now, what do you think happens if you don't take care of that check engine light? Bad things are going to happen, right? And those are the warning signs that we have on our vehicles. Now, the thing about it is, a lot of us, we know that when that check engine light comes on, that means potentially thousands of dollars are going to go right down the drain. Everybody say amen. The problem is, many of us don't have thousands of dollars to go down the drain. So we do something different, other than what the manufacturer prescribes. We do our own thing, even though the maker says, this is what you should do. we end up doing our own thing, don't we? Sometimes we do this. Man, you got that? This little, my go-go juice? There you go. This is not brown liquor, just to let you know. Sometimes, now across the street at the AutoZone, they have dozens of products just like this. And this is fuel system cleaner. They have engine cleaners and things that will help to make things go away. If you've got weird noises going on in your vehicle and you don't know what they are, you just can throw this juice in your car, and after you drive it a little while, the noise will go away. It's brilliant, but it's not fixed. See, the problem is we will take this additive. Some people even call it, this is a treatment. Some people will pour this treatment in their car, and it will be a substitute from what the maker designed. Now, what's similar about this to us is we do the exact same thing. We will take other things other than what the maker prescribed. And we'll do, well, my life has hurt. I got out of this bad relationship, and now I just feel this hole. I feel unloved. I feel rejected. I felt like I was done wrong. So what is our solution? Another relationship. Look, 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 look. Somehow that makes sense to us, right? Somehow we do bad with debt and finances. And what do? I feel so bad. And then one of your friends, girl, you need a new car. That's right. Wyatt Jenkins Hyundai. And we go and we get further in a problem. But what's really wrong is we need to be comforted. And so some of your treatments may look different. I would dare say everybody in here has a go-to treatment, whatever it is. For some of us, it is an addiction. For some of us, it is a relational thing. For some of us, it's food. For some of us, it's coffee. Some of us, it's pie. Some of us, Krispy Kreme. That sounds really good. Don't know why. No matter what it is, if it's not what the maker prescribed, it's never going to address the root issue of the problem. Now, think about this for a second. All of us will experience discomfort. This is the way we are designed. No matter how good you are, I don't care what your SAT score was, I don't care how much money you got in the bank, all of us are going to experience discomfort. And because God is good and He's a loving God and He didn't create 7 billion robots, He gave us the right to discover for ourselves what sort of comfort we want to seek. And for many of us, we will seek a comfort of some sort. He has designed as the maker within Himself to be the comforter. Again, remember, we serve God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. These three are one. So within the Godhead, He has created the solution for Himself. Now, the problem is, for many of us, we go through life and we put God on the back burner. We save God for the important stuff. Let me give you an example. So-and-so was in a car accident. Everybody pray. Oh, no. I just got fired from my job. Somebody pray. Many times we save God for the big stuff, and we put Him on the back burner. Anybody ever grow up around an old grandma and they had that old grease in the back of the stove? And they use that bacon grease forever? I don't know why, Pastor Lance. See, the things on the front burner are the things that get your attention. That's where you cook. That's where the main meal happens. And you put the stuff in the back. That's the side items. You cook those on the back burner. Sometimes we do that with God. We put Him on the back burner because our priorities, our life gets so busy. And because life gets busy, God gets the crumbs. We put kids in front of God. We put our relationships in front of God. Now, these are not bad things, are they? Everybody say no. But when you put them in front of a holy God, we got problems. Systems break down. What happens if I put oil in my gas tank? Things begin to break down and mess up when things are out of order. And that's where we experience the tensions, the problems, the stress, the anxiety, the doubt, the confusion, the fear, the worry. All of those things happen because we don't put things in the right perspective. It doesn't mean bad things are not going to happen. It just means when we put things in the right perspective, He comes along beside me. He comes along beside me. I want to give you an example as I'm about to close. About 10 years ago was probably the worst part of my entire life. In the years 2010 to about halfway to 2011, that 18-month period was something I would not pray on my worst enemy. This is what happened in 2010 in my life. My first cousin died of HIV. The next month, my mom's sister, my aunt, died. The third month, first month, second month, third month, my mom died. The month after that, my dad's sister died. And then, fast forward about 6 months or so into 2011, my brother died. Okay, now I'm a man of God. I never once thought that that shouldn't happen because I'm a person who loves Jesus. But I did start to question God because I was experiencing discomfort. And I had a lot of questions for God because it didn't make sense. Mother died at 59, brother died at 39. Why? I prayed that it wouldn't happen, but yet it happened. Discomfort. A lot of questions started coming to my mind. So I remember one day in my neighborhood, I go on a long walk in the morning because Jesus and me got some business to do. Get out, start walking on the sidewalk. Okay, God, what's up? That's the way we talk sometimes. I'm frustrated. He knows I'm frustrated, and I know that He knows that I'm frustrated. And I get to the end of the development, and the sun's rising up. It's really beautiful. And I'm just staring at this cornfield. Now it's a bunch of houses, but I was looking at this cornfield, and I said, "Why, God?" And by His Spirit, the Comforter in that moment came along beside me. And He began to deal with me. He said, "I am here." You know what He told me? He said, "Your mom and your brother, they're worshiping me right now." He didn't answer my why. He didn't tell me why it happened. He didn't tell me I was going to get over it. He didn't tell me I was going to get better or feel better. He just said, "I am here and they are worshiping me." And I don't know, but somehow that's all He gave me. But in that moment, I was okay. I was comforted because the Bible is still just as true today when it says that He draws near to the brokenhearted. He draws near. When you are experiencing discomfort and pain, and you just don't know what's going on, the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter, by God's own design of who He is and the way He made us, He will come along beside you. No matter who you are, no matter where you have been or what you have done, He has not changed because of your life. He's still the same God. You know, I want to pray for you today. If you could bow your heads. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you have experienced discomfort. Maybe you have felt alone. I know that's a primal human emotion. You may have a mom. You may have a dad. You may have had a great upbringing, or maybe you're different, but you have felt alone. Maybe even you have felt rejected or not welcomed. I just want you to know today that the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter, He wants to come near to you today and come along beside you in your deepest pain, in your darkest night, in your loneliest hour, He is here. Father, in the name of Jesus, we welcome you. Holy Spirit, we say we welcome you here to come and to fill every place of discomfort and hurt and pain, loneliness and confusion. We invite you into our mess that we have created. We invite you into all of it because our hearts are designed to need comfort. Help us to identify those places in our life and those things that we do to seek out comfort that are not specifically from you. Help us, Lord. We repent for where we have put other things in place of you. Help us today, God. Soothe our soul, which only you can do. In Jesus' name.
You can stay seated. My wife is just going to sing a couple of lines of this song as we just invite the Holy Spirit into our life to bring this comfort that Pastor Richard's talking about.
Come, Holy Spirit, fall in this place. I need more and more of you. Fill me again with the power of your Spirit. Lord, I'm crying out for more. Come, Holy Spirit, fall in this place. Your Spirit, Lord, I'm crying out for more and more of you. Take me to that place, Lord, where there's nothing else but me. Longing for your presence, I know that you're calling me to you. Here I stand and long for your embrace. Nothing else of your Spirit. Lord, I'm crying out for more and more. Lord, I'm crying out for more and more of you.
Yes, Lord, we receive you today, Holy Spirit. Thank you for coming alongside of us, walking with us, speaking to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give God a big hand clap this morning. Great job, Pastor Richard. You guys can stand to your feet. If you're a guest with us today, thank you so much for being here. If you were a guest,